How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Alex Azarm with us. Marco Belletti on the updates. Carlos Ortiz to the Windy City. I'll catch up with him on Friday. We've had this day trip to Chicago in the works for about a month to go to the home opener, to be with each other, and there's rain in the forecast. So God only knows what Friday is going to end up looking like. Much better weather in West Palm Beach, Florida, where that man, Roger Goodell, spoke. That was regarding, I mean, really, it could have been regarding any play in terms of injuries in the NFL and wanting safety, but that was regarding the tush push, which did not get voted on. The discussion has been tabled, as we talked about last night, until May. So there's going to be another kind of get together. Let's call it another meeting in May, where some of this stuff, some of these things that they weren't ready to vote on or they want to hammer out the language, has been pushed to May. The tush push being one of them. Now, a Kaylin Kaler report, she's with ESPN, had the numbers, according to a source, at 16-4 tush push, 16 against tush push. And when this proposal got proposed, it was just the Packers that were attached to it, as team president Mark Murphy, who is not an owner and, by the way, is stepping down from his post this summer. As the Packers, get this, they have an age limit for how long you can be president. Interesting, but that's what they do. So Mark Murphy, this is like his last hurrah as the lame duck in Green Bay to try to get the tush push banned, going as far to say it is not a football play. Other teams and coaches have started to join him, and I think people are a little surprised that there are as many different coaches willing to speak out. I think people are surprised that it could be an even split in the league, but that is not enough. And you don't need a simple majority either. You need 24 out of 32 votes to get something passed when it comes to a rule change. So I think one of the reasons it got tabled till later was they want to clarify the language. They want to talk about this further. And if they're going to ban this play, which I think even in just the 2 minutes of talking about it, I don't even need to say the team name, but the Eagles have become the most proficient at it. Other teams have done it to different levels of success. And I don't think people want to ban the rule because the Eagles got good at it. I think where people want to ban the rule is it's become this play, and I liken it to the extra point. Where the extra point used to be, I mean, they kicked that thing at the goal line. And I was like, okay, well, we know what's going to happen here. And it doesn't have that big of a percentage success rate, but it's still like, okay, it's first and what, you know, it's second and one. Okay, they're gonna get the tush push. But also, if it was just like a run up the middle, I mean, that looks like football. This doesn't look like football. And it's not just this play that doesn't look like football. When a guy has the ball and he runs into 3 defensive linemen, and then 2 of his offensive linemen push him forward upright, and the pile goes 5 yards, and he gets those 5 yards, that doesn't look like a football play either. And that used to not be a football play, but they changed that 20 years ago. So I think what they need to do is clarify the rule, and once they get the language to an agreeable spot, I do think that the tush push eventually will at least be modified, if not outright go away. I think what they're going to say is you can't push a runner with the football. And so Jalen Hurts or whoever could still take the ball and like dive under a pile, but then you're looking at a QB sneak, which is a run. And that seems fine. I think it's the pushing of a player with the ball that I have an issue with. There used to be, I mean, kids football movies where, like, for the comic relief, the little tiny running back would get picked up by one of his offensive linemen and he would carry him into the end zone. And the refs would look at each other, you know, the dumb looks they'd give, and they go, they'd blow the whistle, and they'd do that weird little face, and they both put their arms up like, I guess it's a touchdown. But that was for comic relief. You can actually do that in the NFL, I believe. I believe, I don't know if there's a rule that like Saquon Barkley couldn't get on one of these guys' shoulders. I don't know why that would be illegal. They can push him all they want. The interesting thing about it is everybody's talking about, oh, well, safety concerns. That's not it. When the Packers put forth this rule change, they weren't talking about safety. They were talking about, this looks stupid and we don't like it. But now I think to make it more digestible or to get some level of justification, coaches are using the safety route, which the NFL uses a lot when they're not really sure why they want to change something, but they want to change something. Yeah, we want to change overtime to 10 minutes instead of 15. Why? Safety? I don't know. Safety sounds good. So we'll see what happens with the tush push. And a lot of other tweaks occurred and changed in the NFL. The kickoff got changed, which I talked about last night. I don't know why they just don't move the kicker backwards. In overtime, each team gets the ball, even if somebody scores. Some things did not get passed. The Lions want to seed playoff teams based on regular season record with no favoritism to the division winners. I hate that one. That got tabled. The Lions also tried to eliminate the automatic first down on defensive holding penalties. That did not pass. But these are very specific things. You know, we're not, you know, the tush push. Yeah. If we change that, that's like, I guess a big change. It's a big change for the Eagles, but the sport itself is not going to look that different. And we're modifying a kickoff rule, which that was a change, although the results didn't change too much. It looks different to start, but the play itself actually looks pretty similar once a guy does get the football in his possession. And so I see all these rules, and we've been talking about them and going over them and everybody dissecting them, and I'm thinking, maybe the NFL's in a pretty good spot. Are we in a spot rule-wise with the NFL where we like what we see? Or are we in a spot where the stuff that we don't like, we've just accepted that it's not going to change? I think if there's rule proposals that fans would want to see, I don't know that like fans get together on a Sunday and are talking about, gosh gee willikers, you know what would be great if the touchback was the 35-yard line instead of the 30. I think the things that we get upset about and the rules that we see or the plays that we see that had an impact, and then we come on the next day and I'll talk about it. I think a big one that fans would probably want to see changed is the level of physicality that it doesn't look like there is, but yet defensive teams get penalized for. You know, falling on a quarterback or putting the weight on a quarterback. I agree, we should not have plays where if it looks like the defensive lineman is trying to injure the quarterback, that should not exist. But I do wish, and maybe you would agree, and I think you would agree, that when you see defensive linemen or cornerbacks or whoever, defenders, fall on a quarterback and they like couldn't stop their momentum, or even if they fall on them and, you know, lay on top for an extra 3/4 of a second, like, we don't need to be calling everything. The quarterback I have no problem with the quarterback being protected. It is the most important position. They are the stars of the game. If a team has a bad quarterback, the game sucks to watch. Like, the quarterback is a very vulnerable spot where you've got all these guys trying to get him down, either that he can see in front of him or from behind. Just like with wide receivers, when they're in the middle of the field and they're defenseless and a guy comes flying in. Sometimes these defenders fly in and then the receiver might move his head and then the defender's helmet and the receiver's helmet crash and there's nothing the defender could do about it. I just, that would be a rule that I would like to at least be more up for review or changed. I don't need it to be 1980s football or 1970s football. I don't need Chuck Cecil running around there. One of the videotapes, I've talked about this before, one of the VHS tapes that my, I think it was at my grandpa's house and he let me have it, and I still have it today. I believe it's called Collision Course. Could be Crash Course. It's some NFL Films, like 60-minute tape. And for 60 minutes, it's like attempted murder. It's like watching attempted murder for 60 minutes. Like Houston Oilers receivers just getting blown up in the middle of the field. Quarterbacks getting snapped in half as if they're doing the magician splitting the assisted in the box trick. Just absolutely, like you watch that. You know, sometimes you watch like old NBA games, you're like, this looks different than today. This barely looks like football. This looks like murder. It looks like The Purge with what they try to do. I don't think we need to get to that, but we do protect the quarterback. I think we protect the quarterback too much. A rule that got brought up last night, I believe Robert brought it up from Annapolis, that NFL end zone touchback rule. We don't like that one. We don't like that one. You know, where the offense has the football, they fumble it, it goes out of the back of the end zone, they lose the ball completely, and it goes to the other team. Every time that happens, run to social media, type in search terms, worst rule in sports, and you're going to see a lot of opinions populate pretty quickly. But that's a rule that owners have had no interest in bringing up. There's no evidence that any league's owner has ever brought it up. This is the rule that fans, I think, talk about. If you ask any NFL fan, what's the number one thing you'd like to change? They may agree. I said we got to just dial it back a little bit on the penalties if there's not intent there. But I think the touchback rule is a big one for a lot of fans. I think one thing that is really hard to watch in the NFL is automatic first downs. The Lions tried to make a change. The Lions, what they were trying to do again, was eliminate automatic first downs for defensive holding penalties. Because a lot of times, these automatic first downs, at least anecdotally, what it seems like is, if you're watching your defense and you get a 2-yard loss, okay, now your defense is 2nd and 12, nice. And then 2nd down, incomplete pass, now it's 3rd and 12, nice. The offense should need to make a play to get a first down. But if you hold the receiver as he's crossing the field, you know, 6 yards past the line of scrimmage, and then the quarterback even throws to the other side, like, they're getting a first down because of that mistake. I don't think it got changed because I do think it's very easily exploitable. If it was 3rd and 12 and a defender knows, hey, if I just hold this guy, not pass interference, but holding, if I don't have a chance to stop the play, it'll only be 5 yards and it won't be an automatic first down. So that's worth the risk. So I think you would start to see that more. I think teams would do that on purpose. But it is, I think, as a fan, a tough part of watching the NFL when you see the third and long, and it does look like teams are getting bailed out. I wouldn't mind if pass interference was more like college, because I do think teams exploit that, especially when they have a quarterback that can't throw as far. How many times have you seen an underthrown football, and the receiver tries to come back, and all he's got to do is run into a defender who is playing the quarterback as if he can make a 60-yard pass, which he cannot. So I would like to see some sort of modification there. Pass interference and holding, I think, is very tough for a lot of fans to see. There's another change that happened regarding first downs, and they're going to use automation now. They're going to use, like, they've got the technology. They've got the chips and the football. They're going to go to that. They're still going to have the chain gang out there because, I mean, I don't know. They don't want people to lose their jobs, I guess. But first down chain measurements are not going to go anywhere at this point. Do you remember that time, Gene Steratore? It was a game. It was the Cowboys and somebody. And Gene Steratore, there was a football, and then there was the first down marker. And he put an index card, and it fit between the football and the first down marker. And I remember watching that, and I thought, okay, so that's short of the first down, because what he's trying to do is see if there's space. But then he gave the first down. That is a very antiquated way of doing things. I still feel incorrect way. But if we've got the technology, we can go ahead and use the technology. Especially with, and this is the thing that I've noticed on first downs, I was turned on to this and noticed it, is we get so wrapped up in the ball marking on a third and short or a fourth and short. Remember some of the instances against Kansas City for the Bills where we thought Josh Allen maybe made a first down, maybe even the play prior. Dalton Kincaid, I believe it was. But you should look at, and even going forward, like, I think we're doing this for first downs, but look at where these officials spot the ball on first and five, or second and five, I should say, or third and three. We're far from scientific from that as well. I think some of the taunting, you know, the NFL just said there's going to be a few more taunting things that are going to get called, including like sniffing your fingers and then making a gesture. You know, I don't think, like, John Morant's under a lot of criticism right now if he's doing finger guns and if there's a bigger meaning to that in the NBA. I don't think you should be like doing the Undertaker cut, you know, throat cut, or like pretending to bring out a knife or a gun or do some sort of signal like that. But I do think a lot of the taunting is a little extreme in terms of what's being called. If you step over a guy and look at him in the face and say, "What's up, B?" I don't think that needs to be 15 yards. So a lot of rules up for debate, and it does seem like we're on the fringe of these rules. And I just wonder if there's bigger rules that fans are like, "Ah, that one's got to get changed. Who cares where the football comes out on a touchback? I don't want to lose the football if my guy's at the one and he fumbles it out of the end zone. I don't want to get penalized 15 yards if the defensive lineman falls on the quarterback incorrectly in terms of the referee's opinion who is checking it out." So they'll continue to talk about some of this stuff. I think the tush push clearly is the big topic of conversation, although the impact it will have on the overall game, I don't think, is very high. And regarding the discussion around it, just come out and say you don't like it. We don't have to do this, you know, song and dance where we're saying, "Well, safety." We don't have to do that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We are in April now. April is the month of the draft. The draft is coming in 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. April 24th. Colorado, big anticipated pro day coming up on Friday with Shedeur Sanders. with Travis Hunter. There's one team that I feel very confident in having a good 2025, but the more they mess around with one of their key players, to me, I'm willing to put this team into the Super Bowl, but they got to figure it out with this guy first. We'll take a look at this AFC team when we come back. Again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This portion of the show brought to you by Uber Eats. Uber Eats, delivering game day deals from hundreds of your local favorites all week long. Order now on Uber Eats. Product availability varies by region. See app for details. I would just say this. Just what I would do, even if you're not planning to order anything in the immediate future, from a personal anecdote, the restaurant, the go-to bar and grill that we order from, and we feel like we single-handedly saved during the pandemic, actually. We ordered so much. I went on Uber Eats recently, and they have in the app, and this is the only app I've seen it in, buy one, get one on the chicken wings that we like from there. And who knows what your restaurant may have. I don't know much about why it's there. I know that it is there, and I know that I take advantage of it quite a bit. Sometimes I'm hungry for something else from this particular restaurant I order from. And then I see that, and so I think, you know what? Not only are we getting what I want, we're getting that deal as well. And I'll eat wings tomorrow. And then maybe even the next day, because you can't turn down a BOGO offer. So check out what may be available with you and all the other great deals on there at Uber Eats. I am going to continue to be the advocate or the person that champions the Super Bowl chances for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2025. I think that they are ready to strike once again. I think that with what's happened in the NFL, specifically the AFC the last few years, when you think of the AFC, you think of the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills. And you think of the Chiefs being able to dominate and the Bills coming up short to the Chiefs and the Ravens coming up short to the Chiefs or the Bills. And I think we forget that before the Chiefs started this three-year run, Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl. Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl, and it looked like they could have the run that the Chiefs have now had. Now, trying to get back there has been tough because of different situations and different circumstances for the Bengals. So they did get back to an AFC championship, lost to the Chiefs. The next year in 2023, they go 9-8 in a year where they lost Joe Burrow and still were competitive at the end. And last year they went 9-8 and their defense was bad. Their defense was historically bad. Number-wise, you know, they finished like 21st or whatever. But their defense did not show up once when it mattered. You play a good team, the Bengals put 38 up on you. And they gave up 41. And as bad as that defense was a year ago, there was a guy on that defense who had one hell of a season, and that was Trey Hendrickson. He led the NFL in sacks. He was a Pro Bowler for the fourth straight year, if you take stock in that. But he was named an All-Pro player. Now, coming into this season, he's got a year on his deal. He ranks 10th among edge rushers at $20 million. He wants an extension to guarantee that he'll be in Cincinnati for a while longer, and also to guarantee that he makes more money. There's still the conventional wisdom from some saying, just play on it. You signed it. But I think that's not real life in sports. That's not real life. The amount of conversations that we would not have if everyone in the last 20 years was just like, yeah, I'm going to honor my contract and then I'll get a new one. And there was never an extension to be had or never someone trying to negotiate for more. Like, I think what some people want is play out your contract and then negotiate after that. But you get better, you get more valuable to a team, you want assurances long term, you don't want to go through the free agent process maybe. That doesn't happen. It just goes... You're basically telling people you can't ask for a raise. You got to play out what you have. And contracts aren't, you know, a normal part of every business, so it's a little different. But this is a guy that's trying to secure his future. I think Cincinnati needs to pay him. I think Cincinnati needs to pay him because I think last year, I think the Cincinnati Bengals defense is bad. However, I don't think they were as bad as they played. I don't think that will happen again. I don't think that will happen again. One of their guys on the defensive line, they actually lost already in Sam Hubbard. They released Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle. So they're losing some guys. They're going to target edge guys in the draft. Or defensive players in the draft, no matter where they pick or what they do with Trey Hendrickson. But we've also seen Cincinnati do some stuff that they haven't done in the past, and that's spend some money. Typically, these guys come up for a big contract. They want to stay. Cincinnati finds a way to get rid of them. I mean, Carson Palmer, he wouldn't even play there or even like acknowledge that he was ever a Bengal because he was so offended by how things went down all those years ago. The Bengals have started to pay guys. They paid their offensive guys. They're bringing T. Higgins back. They gave Ja'Marr Chase a bunch of money. Mike Gesicki, their tight end, is sticking around. So they're showing that they're willing to pony up a little bit and pay. But with Trey Hendrickson, they haven't afforded him the same offer. Well, on Tuesday, there was a little gasp on this fire as executive Katie Blackburn, who is the executive vice president with the Bengals, was asked about Trey Hendrickson and said, I think he should be happy at certain rates that maybe he doesn't think he'd be happy at. I think some of it is on him to be happy at some point. And if he's not, you know, that's what holds it up sometimes. So, you know, it takes him to say yes to something. Also, we have all the respect in the world for him. She's basically saying, you like what we serve you. Like, you did agree to this and you can stick to that. Trey Hendrickson on the Pat McAfee show, not entirely thrilled about that soundbite today.
Whenever you hear that from the ownership, what do you think immediately? Did you know that she said that? And what is currently happening at this time with you as a Cincinnati Bengal, Trey?
Well, first off, yesterday was April Fool's, so I was traded to all 31 teams and had like 100 different contracts. So the one thing I was hoping that was an April Fool's joke was that article, but called my agent, found out it was not. You know, And that was a little disappointing because communication has been poor over the last couple months. You know, that's something that I hold in high regard. You know, they have not communicated with my agent directly. It's been something that's been a little bit frustrating. But again, this is the business of it. You know, I'm incredibly blessed to be in the NFL.
Trey goes on to say a lot of other things like, you know, if we have to move, I'm preparing my family to eventually move. But also, I've had the same phone number I've had since I was in high school. I'm very easily contactable. Not a word. It might be. Contactable, easy to contact. Contactable is definitely a word. Ha-ha! Contactable. So I'm going to double down on it. I'm very easily contactable. That does not sound like it would be a word, but it is. Contactable. But you're seeing, this is where I have a problem with the Bengals, is you're giving out money and you're paying guys, and Hendrickson, deserving of it, you can't let your defense be any worse. If you think you're going to outscore teams, you're not. And this is your window. This is your window. There's so many teams that try so hard to get to this point where they have a franchise quarterback, where they have offensive weapons, where they have a coach that they believe in. And I don't think now is the time to get cheap. Trey Hendrickson is a valuable part of this team. What we've seen elsewhere is, you know, Max Crosby, is he going to? No. He stays. We're seeing other guys get locked in, and you think the Bengals would follow suit, specifically because they've already locked in their other guys. But that does not seem to be what's happening here. So I feel like the Bengals are a Super Bowl team. I feel very high on the prospects of Joe Burrow and these weapons and this offense, all the way to their running back room and the studs that they have at wide receiver. I don't think the defense will be as bad as it was a year ago, even if it's bad. And again, last year they went 9-8. They've had two horrid years where you don't forget it, where you don't remember them at all, but they've been 9-8. I do think the Chiefs were scared to see them in the playoffs. They lost 38-0 to the Broncos, which kept the Bengals out. Did they do that on purpose? I don't know that they thought there was a lot of value in starting their guys week 18, but I also think that they were not bummed when it did block Cincinnati from getting in. So if you're this close, go for it. And there were these comments. Maybe it's part of the negotiation. We'll see what happens with Hendrickson. I still feel like they do figure out some sort of agreement, and Cincinnati's got to strike because a lot of things are different if Burrow doesn't get hurt, if they don't get off to such a slow start, you know, this year. I think they were 0-2, and they played the Ravens at one point, or they were really bad, and just a tough year for them. But they were 9-8. So I think they're right there, but you got to lock in Trey Hendrickson and get the job done. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll have the Bolton Blitz coming up. Want to talk some NBA. The question that I wrote down on my list of topics here was quite simply, do you even want to like the NBA? So I will hash that out in a little bit here with you guys. Right now, let's get to an update. Here is Marco Belletti.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. The biggest moments in the games. The biggest voices in sports. The heartbreak.
Because the MRI showed that I have to retire.
The celebrations.
And the new undisputed WWE champion, the American Nightmare, Cody Brown.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is time for the Bulletin Blitz. We do it every night at this time. I'm Bart Winkler. Joining us tonight on the ones and twos, it's Alex Azarm. Alex, good to be with you. How are you, friend?
I'm doing good, Bar. How are you?
You made me nervous there for a second.
I accidentally clicked the wrong mic. That is why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm good. What do we got in the world of whatever we do here?
So we got a lot of NBA. We had a humongous game last night. Probably the best game of the NBA last season against the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. It was a double overtime game. Nikola Jokic, if you thought 30-20-20 was impressive, he had a 60-point triple-double, the highest-scoring triple-double in NBA history. It was an amazing game. And if
pretty
you want,
good.
Yeah, you want to hear what Anthony Edwards had to say about Jokic?
Oh, you know what I do.
All right, let's hear what he has to say.
Like that I've been a part of. Nikola Jokic, bro. Oh my God, he might be the best basketball player I've ever seen, like close up, besides myself. Bro, he's incredible, bro.
I've got some thoughts on Nikola Jokic. The MVP race is very interesting. I know in the NBA we obsess about it more than in other sports. I do think that there is somebody more deserving in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I also think that there is a voter fatigue issue, which I'm not sure will extend to Nikola Jokic. I think there's, with some guys, it's like, oh yeah, voter fatigue, fine. But with Jokic, there's more of like, we can't let him be the victim of voter fatigue.
Well,
so
I mean,
the odds are
when it happened with Embiid, I feel like a lot of people got tired of Jokic constantly. He got it back to back, but then they just let Embiid get it.
And I think there are going to be more people this time around that vote Jokic because they're trying to counteract that voter fatigue. So
yes.
I want to get more into that in a little bit. I want to talk more NBA, specifically about if people like it or not. I know that's a real basic question, but I saw an article by David Aldridge today that I found very interesting and wanted to discuss. So we'll do that in a little bit here.
And then this is what Jokic had to say about what Anthony Edwards had to say about him.
I think it's just for the respect, and I appreciate, you know, I don't know what to say. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I think it's showed the respect, and I appreciate it, you know.
Classic response.
Yeah. I'm not into it. I'm simply not into it. And again, I find myself here in the minority on this, but I'm not into this aw shucks gee, I don't like this, basketball is work, and then going on the court and putting up some all-time performances. Like, I just wish Jokic would admit that he loves basketball. I'm just not into it. I'm not. I'll expound on it more.
Do you think he trains during the offseason?
Like, secretly in an underground bunker?
Probably.
And then he has people take pictures of him when he's on a horse, and people are like, see, he's on it. Oh, you know, I gotta go come for the parade. I think it's all a bit. I think it's all an act. I think we're being duped. I do.
I disagree. I'm a big fan of his. I've been on the train for Nikola Jokic even before he was an MVP candidate, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, then with all due, I think you might be a sucker.
And there was another masterclass performance in the NBA. Steph Curry dropped 50 points, and he also had 12 threes to go with it. He led the Warriors in a win over the Grizzlies, and this is what Steph Curry had to say. He said he never envisioned scoring 50 points in a game.
My whole career, I've never really thought that way. You have confidence, you prepare yourself, but it's never a results-based thing. It's just understanding the work you put in. I did shoot it well this morning, a shoot-around, so you kind of feel good and have confidence, but you never think it's going to be a 50 night.
I recently showed my young 5-year-old son, because he knows Steph Curry, and he knows the Wisconsin Badgers, and I'm pretty sure he gets the difference between the NBA and college. But I told him, hey, one time Steph Curry played against the Wisconsin Badgers in basketball. So I pulled up the highlights when Davidson beat Wisconsin. I think it was a 5-12 matchup. I mean, that performance.
Davidson were a 10 seed, I believe.
10. So 10-3, I think it was then.
Yeah. If it was a...
second round?
Second round or a... would it be... how would it work? Wait, 10?
2?
So 10 plays 7, so the winner of that would play the 2 seed. So then Wisconsin would probably be the 2 seed then.
Yeah, they were a high seed. They had no business losing that game. Yeah. And Curry was amazing! And we looked at it then and we're like, oh, what a fun story. We should have been better. We should have been, okay, there's a future Hall of Famer and a 4-time champ. Because when you go back and look at it now, it's knowing everything that you saw... I mean, we could have called 50-point games back then, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And very quickly, this is what Shams has to say about KD getting potentially traded during the offseason.
The Suns, Kevin Durant, they would work together on any trade. But I can tell you guys this. Back at the NBA trade deadline, there were a list of teams that there was mutual interest with Kevin Durant and those teams, from my understanding. And that's Minnesota, that's New York, that's Houston, San Antonio, Miami.
Okay.
Those are the types of teams.
Yeah.
And that was courtesy of the Pat McAfee show.
So, if and when Kevin Durant gets traded, I don't know that I'm going to have a lot of energy to talk about it. I'm just not into the Kevin Durant, where's he going to go saga. It's getting very just lame. He's somewhere 2 years. If the Warriors wanted him, he should have gone back. I don't know why he didn't go back. They're doing well with Jimmy Butler, but I mean, you should have just gone back. The Warriors, I think maybe they'll make a second round with Jimmy. With Kevin Durant, we'd be talking a lot more title talks. I think he should have just gone back. More on the NBA and how your relationship with it is when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.